If you're visiting with us for the first time, welcome to church, and I hope and I'm sure that God has touched your life so far, and I'm also believing and trusting that God will continue to speak to you and inspire you on your journey, and that he'd help you on your journey. So I've been speaking from Ephesians chapter 2 for the last couple of, about 3 weeks now, somewhere there. But it's been good. I don't know how much good it's been to you, but it has been of great help for me, because this has just helped me to realize. Of course, you would think, because you're a pastor, you should know by now. But as a human being, it's always inspiring to read the Word of God, and also inspiring to actually know what God is continuing to say to us from His Word. It is. If you can turn to Ephesians chapter two. Which would be fantastic. Verse 1, your phones, your whatever it is, and it says, "And you he made alive." This is what I've spoken a few weeks back, and I said, "And you he has made you alive." And that really excites me, because, and also if you continue to read there, it says, "Who were, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." So in other words, what he's saying is, he has made you and me alive who were once in sin. We were all in sin. We lived in sin. We were sons of disobedience, and we continue to disobey. We would completely disobey God and go in our own way. But while we were still in sin, this is what really excites me about our God, is while I was still in sin, he came after me. But in every other religion, because I come from India, I've known a few religions, I haven't studied religion, but I know from association what the demands of other religions are. But also, I've been in the traditional church side of thing, and also I've realized that the demands of being a Christian were also pretty hard, because I was also taught, and I also grew up in a place where for God to turn his face towards me, I had to do da 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 da, and then he would turn his face towards me. But then if you read through the Bible properly and read the Bible through the cross, you will realize that God loved me while I was still in sin, while I was still a rebel, while I was still running away from him, he came after me. And I've also said many times, there was a book called God Chases, but my dad always used to say to me, he says, "Hey, we are not God chasers, but God chases us." If you look at your lives, and if you look at my life, if I look at my life myself, I realized that I was running away from God and trying to do everything that was against God, but he came after me and he pursued me. Would that be right for your life too? But also, as human beings, we want to take some credit to where we are, don't we? We want to say, "I am where I am because I fasted and prayed, I did da-da-da-da-da-da-da." But I don't want us to take any credit for anything that God has done. But what I'm saying is, everything is done by God. Of course, there are moments when I said yes to God. There are moments, he created moments where I had to say yes to God. And because of that, this chapter really comes alive to me, because it says, he made me alive and he made you alive. While you and I were sons of disobedience, people who were still in trespasses, still in sin, but God came after us. And I would continue to read. It says, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Verse 4. This "but" is very significant. "But" it says, "but God." It doesn't say "but you." It says, "but God, who is rich in mercy." The first couple of verses talks about all my niggas rich in mercy, would not where I was. And but it says, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together so that in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So what he's done is he's saved us, and is because of his love, because of his grace, and he has made us sit with him, with Jesus Christ. But also the reason that he has done is so that, let's continue to read, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that now of yours, not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So none of us can boast of anything that God has done in our lives, but we can only boast of the goodness of God. For we are his workmanship. So before I come to that verse, that's the reason that this really excites me. It says, he made me alive. He made you alive. The reason that you're here, as Donna said, you have never imagined in your life that on the 10th of March 2019 that you would be sitting this morning. Pretty good day out there. You're sitting in church and you made a choice to be here. You have never imagined, but what God has done many, many years in your life. Different stories and different strokes and different ways of God has brought us together. But he has brought us together. The reason that he has brought us together, the reason that he got us saved, is for his glory. And it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast, but it is all about what he has done in our life. So the first thing is, he has made you alive. And he comes after you. The next verse, verse 10, is it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The thing is, you and I are his workmanship, are his masterpiece. I spoke about that last week, and I said, you are a masterpiece. The reason that you and I feel that we are not masterpieces is because we compare ourselves with other people around us. And we say, oh, I'm the least of the family. That's cool. I'm the best in the family. That's cool. I am not as beautiful as the other person. I don't have the hair. See, if you have curly, you want straight. If you have straight, you want curly. If you're tall, you want to be short. If you're short, you want to be tall. If you're skinny, you want to be chunkier. I wanted to say, chunkier. But if you're chunkier, you want to be skinnier. If you're my color, you want to be, I want to be your color. If your color, you want to be my color. But we'll have these things all the time. I wish I had gray. Some of you wish you had gray hair, but I wish I had black hair. I wish I had straight teeth, but I have crooked teeth. Some of you have got straight teeth. You're desiring that you have my sort of teeth. So we're always thinking of something else that we want that somebody else has. But what God says is, the way that I've created you is absolutely fantastic. He says, you are his masterpiece. It doesn't say, comparatively amongst all of you here, Sanjay is the best. I wish he would say that. But if it was that sort of a God, he would definitely say that. But he's not, sadly. He would not say that. He says to each one of us, and he comes and says to each one of us, you are a masterpiece of mine. But also where Paul is saying is, you are a masterpiece. The reason that God has created you as a masterpiece is because he has some things for you to do. He has a purpose. He's got a plan. The things that I do, you can't do. I promise you can't do. A lot of you can't eat with your hands, can you? Hey, I'm the only one who's married to Sunitha. None of you can? No. Oh, my goodness. Okay, my Sunitha. There's another Sunitha there. Okay, Arjun, you... Phew. My Sunitha. All right. So there are things that you can do. There are also things that God has ordained for me that I can influence that you can't influence. The people that you can influence, I cannot influence. Nobody in your circle can influence. No friend. You maybe think, there are times when you think, if Reinhard Bonnke was in my place, he would influence all my neighborhood. No, but sadly he's not. And even if he was, he would not be able to, because God has placed you in that place with your friends and your family and your neighborhood, in your community, because he entrusted it to you. So he's not going to bring a replacement, would he? If he was going to bring replacements, God is saying, no. Thank you for brightening so that I can see my Bible. And also you guys can see me. So God doesn't bring replacements. He says he entrusts you completely. He says you are his masterpiece. When God says you are his masterpiece, you are his masterpiece. Your wife may disagree. My wife may disagree on many things. So you're not a masterpiece, because she knows me the best than any one of you. I'm sure most of you or all of you think that I am God's masterpiece, but my wife would think a little bit otherwise. And my children may think a little bit otherwise too, because they know me a lot closer than any of you guys know. But my God knows me inside out, because his word says in Psalm 139, he says, even before I was formed, or even before you were formed, he knew you. He knit you. He knew everything, and is you intricate, and he made you complex. We have only boys. We had only boys. Two boys, you've seen them. Now that a couple of girls have come into our world. Should I leave it there? Maybe good for me. No. But the thing is, because we did not live in that world with girls, so it is a little bit different. And girls are different. That's how God has created you. You're complex. Your emotions are amazing. Amen. The way you think is completely different. I know Sunitha. I've been married to Sunitha for 30 years, but she became more of me than me the other way around. But the point of the story is, like, you're unique. You're different. And be excited about who you are. Don't try to be somebody else, please. Because if you're trying to be somebody else when God says you are amazing, you're actually saying to God, no, I don't trust you. Yeah? Think about that. If you're saying, I wish I was so amazing as Sanjay is. No. God says, no. You're actually saying, God, I don't trust you. So what it is you are a masterpiece. Doesn't matter where you come from. You come from India, Fiji, South Africa. We're all over the place. Anyway, we've got Indian origins, but we're in India. A billion of us, more than a billion. We're all over the subcontinent. We thought it was not enough, so we're in South Africa. There's a lot of them in South Africa, and we thought, that's too big a country. We need to find something smaller. So we went to Fiji. so we thought, Fiji is too small, so we'll go in somewhere in between. So we went to the Caribbean islands, so we're there. So we're all over the place, and then we thought, America needs Indians for technology, so there's a bunch of them. So we're all over the place. Why did I get there? I don't know, but we got there. So we're all over the place. But what I'm saying is, whoever you are unique, you're amazing. Because, not because I say, but because the Bible says so. If you don't get anything out of this morning, just know that you are special, you're phenomenal, you're amazing, you're intricately made, you're amazingly made. And God has a purpose and a plan for you, because in this verse, he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And I also went through those good works last weekend. I said, sometimes we think good works is just being Reinhard Bonnke and saying, hey, we want to blood-washed Africa. Maybe that's the only purpose. That's what I want to do. And some of you Bible students, you want to say, I'm going to take this nation. Yeah, we're going to take this nation. But that's not the only purpose. The purpose is good works. What are these good works? Good works is for me to be a great human being, the way that God created me to be a loving person. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That's an amazing good work. It's like becoming what God wants us to become. Is the good work. So we start to love people around us like we love God. And then we actually start to be good children of our parents. I know most of you are really good. There are only a few of us who are rebellious, but most of you are wonderful children. So continue to be those wonderful children. And then also, all of us are wonderful parents. But also God says, hey, be good parents. Fathers, do not provoke. You know, read through Ephesians. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Children, be obedient to your parents. So all these things. And then he also says in the verses down, he says, hey, be an amazing worker. Wherever you're working, if you're a student, be the best student. If you're working at the university, be the best. If you're working in a school, be the best. If you're a farmer, be the best. If you're whatever you are doing, be the best. And it also, the Bible also says, do as if you're working to God. Working unto God, not unto man. So these are some amazing works, because the world doesn't see this. The world doesn't see this, but God has transformed you and transformed me because he wants to impact the world that we live in. And we are made to be obedient servants. We are made to be amazing leaders, amazing people. If there are people under us that we oversee for whatever managerial skills that you have, you be the best person that you can be. And always challenge yourself and say, God, what is it that you want me to do in this situation? How do I handle this? And be the best. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1, he says, pray for your nation. Yeah? Pray for our nation. Doesn't matter red, blue, green. Doesn't matter who's there. Because the Bible also says, whoever the red, blue, green, yellow, whoever is there, God placed them. You may not agree. I may not agree with how things have happened, but hey, God says, I'll place them at such a season as this. And he says, don't grumble, don't be grumpy, but pray for your leaders, for your kings, so that you and I can live in peace. So we need to be people who are making sure that we are praying for our leaders, but also pray for our church and pray for the community that you're in, so that it would actually make an impact. These are some of the good works that God has created you to be. Can we do that in our life? I want you to be challenged on those things. So the thing is, you now know that you are alive. Now you know that you have a purpose in your life. But then I'm like, so what's next? And I'm alive. I've got a purpose in life. So what do I do with it now? So I'm going to just talk a little bit about it. And as it as the purpose, good works, and also you're created. The Bible says you're created for his glory, for God's glory, to love him with all your heart, to worship him. And also, as I've reiterated, you are unique and special. So now what I want to encourage you, because you're unique and special, and God is an individual God. He has got relationship with you personally. Do you know that? God wants to, of course, he speaks through people, he speaks through here, but also he wants to commune with you one-on-one. So what I say is, if you're unique, which you are, and if you're special, which you are, your problems are unique, your needs are unique, and your purpose is also pretty unique. And as I said earlier, only you can do what God has called you to do. Nobody else can fit that in. So you are unique and special. So find your specific purpose, not just the overall purpose of God for you. So the thing was, Paul, who was Saul, Acts chapter 9, he was a very passionate person. He was killing Christians. That was what he believed in, and he was killing Christians. But bam, there was a move of God, there was a touch of God, and he got slain, and he was blind, and Ananias comes, read Acts chapter 9, and then his scales have fallen, and then suddenly he starts to do things of God. People could not believe that this is what God can do. And so, but he had a specific calling. It says, for he was called to the Gentiles. Ananias goes and says, you're called for the Gentiles. And it says, you're also prepared to speak to the kings and people in authority. So that was a specific calling. And also, and another amazing thing is, which I would not want on my call, is you shall be persecuted. That's what it says. It's like, wow, you radically being transformed. So you're called for the Gentiles. Yes, I'm called for the world. Yeah, cool. And you're going to be speaking in front of kings and people in authority. Yeah, that's so cool. This is definitely God. And you shall be persecuted. That's not the devil. No, it's not. It's in the packet sort of thing, because people, again, persecution varies and stuff like that. So with all of that, what we need to do is, I want to encourage you today, is to actually listen to a couple of things that that I want to pose some questions to you to this morning. And I want you to start to find out for yourself. My desire this morning is to inspire you to find out, to pursue God, and to find out what He has for you. Some of you already know it. And you're going after it. But some of you have gone after it and you stayed back. And some of you are wondering what in the world is happening here. What am I going to do? But I just want to pose a few questions to you this morning. A few years back, there was an Aussie pastor who came here, Gary Rucci. He actually spoke a message I will never forget that he spoke on. The title was, What Ticks You Off? I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that? He said, what ticks you off? So like, that's the question to you this morning, for you to find out, what ticks you off? There are things that really tick you off, which are like, I hate that. If that's what you feel like, I hate this. I can't stand this. Hey, so what are you doing about it? Not everybody. If you look at it, maybe you're saying, I hate it, but all the friends are looking at it like, what? Why do you hate it so passionately? What's wrong with you? But that's something that God has put on you. So what ticks you off? What irritates you? So if there is some irritation that is happening in your life, so sit with God and say, God, this really irritates me, this thing. What do you want me to do with it? That's one question. And another thing, what is one thing or two things that brings dissatisfaction? What brings dissatisfaction? You could be stuck at a place, but unless you're really dissatisfied, you would not move. You sit there and you just be that, but there's something deep inside. It's like, I need to do something about it. So if that's how you're feeling, you need to actually see what you can do. I'll tell there's a story from Luke chapter 11, which is talking about the prodigal son. The prodigal son went, and some of you know, but I'll tell the story quickly, that he went away, took all his father's, his inheritance that he got from the father, and he swindled all of it, and he was sitting with the pigs. And he's eating with the pigs for a few days, or I don't know how long he's been. He sat there and he was eating, and suddenly one day, boom, something happened in his life. I'll read that. Something happened in his life, and suddenly the lights went on. It's not 11, it is 15. Luke chapter 15. It's 17, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he was sitting there and he was living all of his life, but suddenly something happened. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. And then verse 28 says, and he rose. So there was a time he was really dissatisfied with eating with the pigs. Sometimes we become so comfortable even with the pigs because we think there is no other way out, and we're like, oh, I'm okay with this. I will manage myself because I don't have any hope. But then he sat there and he thought to himself and said, I can actually go back to my father. My father's place, my servants in my father's place have more food than I do. He says, something happened in his life. And he said, nah, I've had enough of it. Maybe that's another dissatisfaction that you have, something in your life, and you're saying, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. I need to do something about it. So that's another question that you have. And the third thing, what others say about you. Not in a negative way, in a positive way. Say, oh, you're amazing. You're amazing with people. But you're not a people's person. You're behind a desk and this is what you do. But everybody around you says, man, you're such an amazing people's person. but you're stuck in the back of the office, but you got something there. Or somebody will say, hey, we just realized this morning that Kaz can cook. Because now that she can cook a stir fry, she's putting it all over social media. So that says a lot that she's an amazing cook. So she has learned to cook. So suddenly after a few months, maybe after a few months, we'll say to Kaz, and say, hey, Kaz, you know, because you're such a creative person, you can actually create some good food. I said, but no. But now suddenly, I'm sure in 6 months' time, if she continues to cook, she'll become a great cook. But then the people around and say, hey, because you're creative, you can do this. Or somebody will come and say, hey, because this is who you are, I see you like, you can do it. And maybe people have been saying this to you, but you're like, oh, no, I'm not this person. And you think you're humble, but you're not. You're just Kate. You're not humble. Let me tell you honestly, you're not humble when people are telling, when all of your friends are saying, hey, this is what you, I see you. Or they're saying, hey, you're an entrepreneur. Man, you should come up with some amazing ideas. Why don't you step out of the boat and do something? Oh, no. I'm very humble. You're not humble. All right. You're scared. So don't be scared. This is another question. So what others say about you? And the other thing is, what gifts have you got as a person? Maybe you don't get to show them off, but you have some gifts. You have some soft corners. My wife, Sunitha, she loves kids. For the last few weeks, you haven't seen her here, and I can tell all the stories that I want to about her because, she doesn't know. But she says to me, she says to me after the service when we get in the car, she says, what did you say? Because people came and started inquiring about, oh, Sanjay said this, and said, what did you say? I said, I can't remember either. But anyway, so she is a person, she loves kids. She absolutely loves kids. And as we were driving here, she just told me what she was going to do with the kids. And I thought, wow. I'm usually not that impressed with things. But I was like, wow, I can actually use that as a sermon illustration. Wow. And she was like, it was like casually. She was like, because she loves kids. She only thinks kids. And she loves sitting with them. She loves doing things with them. And they'll be having a fantastic time out there. And that's who she is. And some of you, as I said, you could be an amazing people's person. Or maybe some of you are amazing administrative people. I suck at administration. I can't get a thing done. I can imagine. I can come up with creative ideas. I can dream big. I can do all these amazing things. But when it comes to admin, I'm the king of procrastination. Hey, don't laugh at me. You're all too. We're all good at it. But the thing is, some of you are amazing. Some of you, I can't imagine this. Some of you love accounts. How can somebody love accounts? For me, that's what my head's. How can you love accounts? How can you sit and just do numbers? June does it. There are people that are accountants here. They just love it. They can sit and they get excited when you give them a complex problem of finding 7 cents out of $1 million. They get excited. They can sit and they can work it out. And then they'll be like, yes, I found the 7 cents. I'll be like, I'll give you 10. But they do that. That's who they are. Some people are just amazingly givers. They love people. They give. One of them is June. I'm like, when she's on holiday, when I'm on holiday, I don't want to think about any of you. I'm being very honest. But then June will go on a holiday and she'll come back with gifts for half of you. Oh, there's a baby coming in 3 months. So she'll actually buy something for a baby who's coming in 3 months. For them when they're 6 months. So 9 months ahead, she's thinking, and she'll buy these little shoes or a little something. And I'm like, June, how do you think? And she's been giving me for the last how many years? 10, 12, 15 years? Christmas gifts on a regular basis. I haven't responded to that. I haven't responded back to that. But she just keeps giving. Every Christmas, I've got this big-ass box of gift under my tree, the only gift box under my tree. And that's who she is. And that's what it is. So what are your gifts? How are you created? You don't be mean. You don't be your sister. You don't be your mother. You don't be your brother. You be yourself, because God has created you uniquely to be who you are. Musically, some of you just are musical. Give you a couple of spoons and you can have a beat. Give them a string, they'll make something out of it. And some of you are creative. Give rubbish to you and you'll come up with something. I'm like, rubbish meant to go in the rubbish, but how can you bring it back into the house? But you do it. You're phenomenal. And some of you just love to walk alongside people. You're just there. You can call them. You can love them. You can have a coffee, and they don't mind all the slobber on you, on them, and your everything on them. You're crying, and they'll be okay. They'll be like, "Oh, I love you," and they'll hug you, and they'll do all of this. And next week again, you're telling the same story, and they'll listen to the same story again. And after 1 year, you're telling the same story, and they still love you. I'm not talking about me. I just wanted to clarify. But there are people like that. There are some of you. So these are all these unique things that are all in you. And you need to stick to what it is. Don't try to be someone else, but be who God has wanted you to be. And the fifth question is, what are your passions? What is your passion? What is it? What is it just gets you going? When you're watching news, or when you say something happens inside you, not the thing that ticks you off, but there's another side of it which will excite you and will say, "Oh, I can't wait! I want to do this. I want to go and I want to do this." Maybe that's your passion too. So find these ones. Once you know these are simple things. Once you find these things, and stay in your lane. And when you stay in your lane, you're amazing, because you're running in your lane with the strengths that you have, with the way that you're created, and you're going after it, and it's just phenomenal for you. So you need to go with that. Once you know what you want to do, don't procrastinate. As I said, many times you're like, "Oh, I'll do it tomorrow." All the college students said, "Amen," because that's the reason we're all giving our assignments at 11:59. There's 11:59. 11:59 is when the assignment goes. I'm actually doing a study on right now, and I am way behind my assignments, way behind. Because let's leave it there. All right. So we need to get on to what we are saying. But also the thing is, once you find what God is wanting you to do and the way that you create, He's created, da da da, and then say, make a plan. It's simple. This will help you in all of the in every part of life. Make a plan, set goals. The thing is, there are times when an ambulance, when you call, is it 911? Yeah, is it 911? 11. Now you know I have never called. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, 111, you call 111, and you know that they're there just like that. They bang. You think that it just happened? Then they were like, "What are we going to do? We're going to play some cards and see." And suddenly 111 rings and say, "Yep, we'll be there." I'm like, "Oh, where's this? Where's that?" Do you think they're going to do that? They're on to it. The moment you get a call, maybe in 5 minutes or less than that, they're actually on the scene. You know why? Because they have planned. They have done rehearsals on it. They have worked these things. They know exactly. They've timed themselves how they're going to go. Imagine the ambulance driver thinking, "I'm not going to train myself. I'm just going to have a glass of wine just before I go to duty. And let's see where we're going to go. Let's see where the Lord leads me." But somehow when we are Christians, we feel like, let's see where the Lord leads, and let's see if I end up there, then this is where God wants me. No. God has a plan and a purpose, and He wants to communicate to you. And when we listen to it, when He communicates it to us, we need to be able to plan it, think about it, and let God breathe on it. So when they have practiced it, and that's the reason they save lives. But somehow in church, we're like, let the Lord lead us. And we're like, why are souls not saved? Let the Lord lead me. No, we got to plan, we got to prepare. In that sense, we got to pray, we got to do all those sort of things. So, but in your life, you got to make a plan and set some goals. Goals are good. If there were no goals, kids, we would get tired. How many of you would like to see a game without goals? 20 seconds, you're bored. You don't know where they're going. And you're also the same way. After a few minutes, like, oh, where are we going? I thought I saw this. Oh, we've just been going in circles for the last half an hour. What's the point of this? I'm going to get off of this. But the thing is, you got to make plans. You got to set goals. You got to be ready for what God has for you. And also, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, where it says, it talks about the talents that God has given. God has given each one of us some talent. And he expects all of us to use it because he has given it into us. It is not how many you've got, it is have you got one. And yes, you have got at least one. And you and I need to start to use them. And also I use this about the prodigal son. When something happened in his life, he actually had a plan. So I'm going to read that again. It says, but when he came to himself, he realized where he is and where he wants to be. And I'm hoping that today that you realize where you are and where God wants you to be. And then something clicks in your heart this morning and you're saying, okay. It says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him. He has a plan. He says, I will arise. And also, I am sure between where he was and to his father's, he had rehearsed what the speech that he was going to say. Father, please forgive me. He would have gone through all of that. So he's gone through it. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. In verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. So he actually put these steps in there. Goals in there. So I'm going to get up. This is what I'm going to say. And I'm going to rise up and I'm going to start walking. So this morning, you need to actually say, whatever God is saying to you, you need to say, I will arise. I will arise. Whatever situation that you're in, you need to decide. This was not something that was very easy for him to just get up and say, I'm going to go back to my father. But he was like, I will arise and go. And it says, and verse 20, and he arose and he came. He actually went. So you need to make a choice and you need to make a decision. And as you pursue your specific God-given goals, there will be plenty of problems to solve. To effectively tackle them, there are some things that you can do. First, pray and ask God to give you direction. That's what I'm hoping this morning, that God would drop something. It doesn't have to be a full-on one-hour prophetic word. Just one thought, one word, one idea, one thing that he has spoken a long time ago. I'm praying that it would come alive this morning. And the second thing is, define the situation. Define the problem there and say, this is what's happening. And the third thing is, make it what if. So this prodigal son actually said, I will arise and go to my father. And he would have actually, he's saying, I'm going to go. And he's saying, I'm not even going to go and say, I'm back. I'm your son. But he's saying, hey, I've sinned. Even if I'm not your son, that's okay. I'm just going to be your servant. So it's like, what if? But he was downgrading himself. But I want you to actually upgrade yourself because we can easily downgrade ourselves. But I want you to say, hey, God has spoken to me this, and these are the problems that I'm going to face. This is the situation that I'm in. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I'm going to read that because it is a very exciting verse. And I'm going to finish soon. 3 verse 20, now to him, listen to this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, who dwells in you. This is what I want you to start to imagine. Where you are, where you want to be, And then you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to imagine way beyond it. If it wasn't for people's imagination, we would not be having the comforts that we have right now. Can you think of that? We would not be driving these cars, or we would not be having these lights. We would not be having these microphones. We would not be having a lot of you would be sitting on the floor if it wasn't for somebody's imagination of a chair. As simple as that. You would not have a dining table if it wasn't for an imagination of someone who said, oh my goodness, how cool it would be for all the family to come and sit down. And if somebody's imagination was, how cool would it be? I'm just listening to what's happening on the rugby ground. I'm just listening. I can imagine that this is listening, but how cool would it be if I can actually see? And then they started filming things, and there was times when I would watch on newsreel before the movie came. That's way back, way back. And then now suddenly we're like, oh, it's all live. Somebody said, how cool would it be if the match could be shown live? So they started live. And what we are using right now, phone, if it wasn't for Steve Jobs, we wouldn't have problems with our thumbs. Swiping. But because of Steve Jobs, we have a computer in your pocket, in your hand. Because this guy said, "Why? How can we bring the phone, my calendar, and my computer, all of them together into this little device that all people can have?" This was how many years back? Maybe 15 years back. He just went wild with his imagination, and everybody said, yeah, you can do it. No, the people said, you're dumb. You're stupid. How can you? These computers, when they invented, they were this huge rooms, and now they're saying you're going to bring it to this one. Are you serious? You can't do it. You can't do it. And what we are doing right now is all because somebody imagined and said, why can't we do this way? Why can't we do that? Why can't we fly from here to there? And they flew. And then there were Wright brothers, and from Wright brothers to where we are, it's just phenomenal. These massive two-storied buildings are flying now. Somebody said, why can't we have 380 people or 500 people flying at one time? That's 380, sorry. 500 or 800 people flying at one time. It will take a city from here to there. Oh, cool. We'll build it. My thing is, God has given you that creativity in you too. Don't just think that, oh, there's one Steve Jobs there. Oh, there's one Reinhard Bonnke there. Oh, there was one Billy Graham there. I am not, but you are. You are not going to be Billy Graham. You're not going to be Steve Jobs, but you will be who you are, and you will make a difference in your community, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your life, in the life of people around you. So I'm going to read this verse in that context. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If you have these crazy ideas, talk to people. Talk to people who won't kill you, who won't put you down, but talk to people just to throw ideas. That's what I do. When a crazy idea comes to me, I'll go and talk to a few people. I say, hey, this is a crazy idea. What do you think? And I was just thinking this morning, usually no church, for the size that we are, puts a kitchen which is about $120,000 kitchen. No one does. But we did. That was a crazy idea. So our kitchen is about $120,000 kitchen. And I'm like, what's that all about? We're going to feed hundreds and thousands of people. At the moment, we feed only a few people. But there's an amazing kitchen. I can only imagine. There was an idea. And there's God. I don't know. What I'm saying is, the things that you will come up with, I pray that they would outlast. The phones have outlasted Steve Jobs. The flights have outlasted the Wright brothers. Everything that is invented has outlasted the people who have done it. So my dear friends, when you have God in your life, do you think that God's not going to use you for his purposes? So talk to people. And don't forget to expose yourself to situations in which your mind is relaxed, and just take it easy. Don't be stressed. Just say, hey, God, I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to love you. I'm just going to enjoy. Don't be so stressed. Oh, if this is not going to happen, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. So this morning, my desire is to say that He will inspire you to take a step of faith because you believe that God has spoken to you. Doesn't matter how crazy it is, write it down. Because Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 says, vision, when God gives you a vision, write it down. It will not happen tomorrow. There's a process, there's a plan, but stick to it. Stick to it. Let's stand to our feet. Father God, I pray that there would be crazy ideas coming through, oh God, not just that we want some crazy ideas here, oh God, not just because we're trying to be cute or we're trying to be just smart, oh God, but we're just saying, God, you and me, 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 God. Not trying to show off to anybody, it's not about showing off, it's not about how great thou art, how great you are, how great I am. It is not about, but it is how great God is. Father God, I pray that minds would be opened, O God. Dreams would be opened, O God. Do not underestimate God. Do not underestimate yourself, because God says you are His workmanship. You're marvelous. You're His masterpiece. You're amazing. Don't compare yourself, but just see what God is saying to you.